Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, throughout this month of February, you're going to notice a theme running through all of our shows, and it's this: living loved. You know, everyone's broken in some way. Everyone needs Jesus. And the thing is, if He only offered the gift of salvation, we would be forever grateful, right? Because life on earth is short, eternity is long. But Jesus offers us so much more. He offers His presence, His promises, an invitation to heal and be set free from the things that hold you captive. He invites you to be one of the cycle breakers, to break the cycle of sin in your family line. It is amazing what God has offered us through His Son, Jesus. Well, if you listen often enough to the show, you know I have Dr. Rob Reamer on this show about once a month, and we talk about soul care. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I got to attend one of Rob's conferences along with my husband, my sister, her husband, my brother, his wife, and another one of my sisters. And I'm telling you, doing this as a family was absolutely life-changing. Dr. Rob's heart cry is for revival, and it starts with each of us learning to live as deeply loved children of God, as he often says. So we're going to talk today about soul care, but it's going to be kind of a fun twist on the show. I got my notes out, and I took all kinds of copious notes at this conference. So it's going to be like you get a little mini soul care conference in this hour today. But we'll be drawing also content from his amazing book, Soul Care, Seven Transformational Principles for a Healthy Soul. Thanks to his ministry, we do happen to have several copies of one of the books we've been talking about with him lately, The Tenderness of Jesus. So if you need a fresh, just awakening about the tenderness of Jesus, and you want to get just to know Him better, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Dr. Rob. If you're traveling this season, we'd love for you to take us with you. You can download our free app in the App Store. Just look for Faith Radio Network, and that way you can live stream the shows from anywhere. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Rob Reamer's passion is to see the kingdom of God advance through spiritual renewal. He began Renewal International to assist pastors, leaders, and churches globally to equip the people of God to live in freedom in Christ and to walk in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. His books incorporate lessons God taught him over the years through life, marriage, and ministry. In addition to his work with Renewal International, he's a professor of pastoral theology at Alliance University in New York, New York. Pastor, doctor, friend, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Suzy. It's good to be back.
I want our friends to know before we get even to the first question that, so I went, I told you before we were off the air, I feel like I just got back from the conference because I'm still soaking in so much what I've learned, but you actually have another conference under you. You literally got home, rested for a couple days, took off again, and your flight yesterday was delayed by 8 hours, so you traveled through the night, and you still kept your appointment with us today. I just want our friends to be praying for you, so thank you for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad to do it. So it's just part of travel, you know, sometimes it happens. So what can you do? I felt bad for the people in the airlines who are sitting there trying to minister, you know, care for all these people that are a little annoyed. So
Right. Well, bless your heart. Well, before we get into the soul care notes, I just got to ask, because I ask this same question every single day, just in your time with the Lord lately, Doc, what's He been talking to you about?
Well, so, you know, one of the passages that I think has always kind of ministered to me anyways, but it's just probably because my friend Martin died, just kind of been thinking about heaven and eternity and, you know, thinking about the verse about, you know, He will dwell with them, they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And just thinking about that concept of heaven where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more temptation, no more domestic violence, no more sexual abuse, sex trafficking, no more war, no more evil in any way, where we're finally with Him and become like Him and live in peace and love and harmony. So anyways,
imagine.
Been thinking about it again.
I mean, just think about operating in your giftings truly in the presence of Jesus without the inner critic, without the enemy opposition, without the constant spiritual intimidation the enemy thrusts at us, that we could serve together and live together and work together in the presence of God. I mean, some people think heaven's going to be floating on clouds and playing harps, and that might be why they're not so excited to get there. But truly, you know, heaven's going to be a sensory explosion. What a day that'll be. Wow. Okay, you're back from another conference. And again, this is my one more question before we dig into my notes. But any highlights from this last conference? Anything that stood out to you that you want to share?
So this conference, actually both these last ones, the one that you were at and this one, real full conferences, lots of people, great audience, super responsive. And it's so much fun, actually, to be able to engage with people who are eager to learn. They're super eager to get healthy and free and experience more of Jesus. And both the conferences were terrific audiences. So it just makes it so much more easy. And truth is, Susie, I like laughing. And so I have, you know, a lot of humor in my conference. And the reality is sometimes it's like you got to coach the audience that this is funny. This is funny. But these last two conferences were both really great. Responsive audiences, and God did some really fun things in them. So
true.
Terrific.
We were on your heels, man. We got it. You never once had to tell us that was funny. We were laughing mid-sentence. So it was so good. That was great. I highly recommend it, truly. And for those who maybe wonder what we're talking about, maybe give just, it's 3 days, it's 8 hours a day, but in those times, there's times where you are speaking and teaching, and then you send us off in triads, groups of three, and you give us assignments. Anything else you want to say so people have a little bit of a context of what the conference is like?
So the Soul Care Conference really involves three components, right? So there's teaching, and you know, in order for life change to occur, there has to be anointed teaching. Again, I don't mean the teacher is gifted. I mean that the teacher has lived into what they are teaching so that there's a breakthrough atmosphere. It's marked with God's presence. And that creates opportunity for life change. And then the second component, there has to be processing in community. Again, you know, we have been redeemed out of the darkness and into the light, as the Bible is very clear over and over in the New Testament about, we become children of the light. And in order for us to be children of the light, that means we need to live in the light, as John says, with God and one another. And so I have discovered in my own journey that I couldn't get free from certain things until I brought it into the light with other people. And so that's part of Soul Care. And it breaks shame, right? So when you're in the darkness, there's a lot of shame. And shame is an identity-based issue that's rooted in, you know, community. So it's manifest in community. So I can't be cured from shame unless I bring this dark stuff into the light with people. If I present to you a pretend cleaned up, pretty up self, and have all this dark stuff in my soul, even if you love me, I don't feel loved because I know that's not the real me. The only shot I have at experiencing authentic love and acceptance is to present my true self to somebody and have that person truly know me, love me, and accept me. And that's what breaks shame. And so we have that component. And the last component is just experiential, you know. I always say you can't experience life change without the presence and power of God. Not a theology for his presence and power, but actual encounters with his presence and power, because only God can change the heart. So there's just various times where there's opportunities for ministry, where people get to experience hearing God's voice. And at these conferences, it seems it's pretty normal for God to start talking to people, showing stuff to people, revealing himself and themselves to people. And then we end with deliverance where, you know, people get set free from some pretty powerful demonic stuff and find freedom in Christ in a new way.
You know, I posted on social media just some pictures of our family, you know, in a circle praying. And then the second post I said, you know, I kind of gave some advice. If you go, it'd be great to go with people that you're safe with and that you know. And I'm not sure about going alone, but I've changed my mind. I'm actually going to go change that post because you might be in such a place where you need to go alone. Because what and some other friends have told me, they got in triads with people, total strangers. And there was safety in that because they were so brand new at breaking the cycle of shame or at telling the truth about their story, that that was the safest place for them to do it. And they actually formed relationships with those people. So I was bragging on the conference, but there was one line in there that I want to go change because I've changed my mind about that.
And I think it's true, Susie. I've met, and you know this, of course, you're lucky to have a family that is open and honest and willing to process this stuff together and is trying to journey towards healing together. But you know, as much as I do, that there are plenty of families that that's not the condition. And if you went with your family, it would become a toxic experience for you. And they would only pile on to the damage that's already been done. So, yeah, sometimes it's best for people not to do it with family. It depends where your family's at and how healthy they are and how deeply they want healing and wholeness together.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this. I want to know, I can't remember if it was last show or the show before, but we spent an extensive amount of time, you and I, talking about wanting more of God and the price you pay for more of God, that you can have as much of God as you want, but not more than you're willing to pay the price for. And we really explored just your journey with creating space and time for the Lord. And I have to say, you know, the lack of a better way to say this, I feel like there's such an accumulative anointing on your life because you privately have paid the price. And it's biblical. Jesus says, when you pray in private, he publicly rewards. There's something about that. My siblings and I were talking about, I think one of the reasons so much stuff was coming up is because it was safe to. I had such a sense when I was there that the air was cleared, like the enemy couldn't be in there. And so as you're teaching on these really, you know, deep soul issues, people had to get honest. I mean, like, you know, people were getting memories. Like, I totally forgot this, and I just remembered this. Yeah. And that, to me, is that's when you push the enemy opposition out of the way and the Spirit of God can come in. It brings revelation that can bring healing. And I just, only God could orchestrate that, but I feel like you have privately paid the price for that.
And I think there's that. And then I think there's another piece, too, Susie, and that is that I'm really honest.
Yeah,
and the honesty
creates
safety. So I'm just super honest. I'm not hiding anything. I want to live a holy life before Jesus. My first passion in life is to love Jesus with all my heart and then to love people and fulfill that great commandment. And then I really want to represent Jesus well. I don't always do it well, but I sincerely, authentically, deeply, and passionately want to be a man of integrity and holiness who represents Jesus well to everybody interact with.
Amen.
And that
Thank
is my Lord. Sincere desire. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I'm really, really honest. I'm flawed and I need Jesus and I'm honest about it. And when I'm honest, then everybody feels permission that like, it's okay. You can be honest. And then, you know, I mean, there's a lot of freedom that I've experienced. Authentic humility seems to be the gateway to transformation, right? And I always say authentic humility begins with honesty, ends with responsibility. Somewhere in the middle is death to self, where you stop making it all about you and you start making it about Jesus and others. But when you're humble before the Lord, I mean, he starts to change your heart and change your life. There's freedom, there's fullness, there's joy. And now all of a sudden, you know, your life gets marked by the presence of God because there's less of you, so there's more of him. And when that happens, I think it creates atmospheres of breakthrough and revelation for other people. And I always say, I think it's probably a combination of being superbly honest, gifting and anointing, and then well-processed pain.
Yeah, and what a combination that is. Well, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of these first lines that I wrote in my notes. If you have a difficult relationship, you'll never fix it by focusing on the other person. It takes two healthy people to have a healthy relationship. So if you've got questions along the way as we go through these quotes, he had so many mic drop moments, so many truth bombs, you know. I was writing ferociously. My siblings are like, did you get it? Did you get it? Because we didn't want to miss the next thing. So I got lots of great liners. We're going to put those up on Twitter as well. But I'm talking to Dr. Rob Reamer about my experience at the Soul Care Conference. And I think during the break, I'm going to see if I won't say. I want to see if I can give you a gift, but I got to double check on that. So don't go away. We're going to talk more with Dr. Rob Reamer about all of this, about soul care. God wants us free. He wants us healed and he wants us whole. So we'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, for 75 years, God has been changing lives through Faith Radio. To celebrate, you could win one of the 75 Faith Radio birthday boxes filled with Brant Hansen's new book, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance, and a new Faith Radio t-shirt and some other fun things to help you grow and commemorate this important birthday. You are an important part of the family, and on this special birthday, you get the presents. You can enter to win yours at MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Dr. Rob Reamer. He's an author of many books, great, deep, powerful books. We're drawing from Soul Care today. He's got a conference under that same title that several of my siblings and spouses, we all attended a couple weeks ago. And I'm not overstating it to say it was absolutely life-changing. And I'm working on something behind the scenes here to see if I can give away two Soul Care registrations. I've got to do a little texting, and it's hard to do when you're talking and on live radio. But I really want to do that because I feel like, Kevin, I feel like a part of our calling is to help people heal. And so if I can swing that, this is real-time live radio, so hang with me, friends. But if I can swing that, then you'd have to cover your flight. But he's all over the country, so you could find your closest conference and attend. So hang with me as I have this conversation and have a few other conversations at the same time. So, okay, here's a couple of notes. If you have a difficult relationship, you'll never fix it by focusing on the other person. It takes two healthy people to have a healthy relationship. Anything you want to say about that, Doc?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty typical of all of us, Susie, that when we're in a difficult, conflicted situation, we're focusing on the other person because we're hurt, right? So we focus on their flaws. We focus on the issues that we would like to see them do differently to make the relationship better. The problem is I have no control over Jen, for example, my wife. I can't control her. I can't fix her. And truth is, if my attention becomes on fixing Jen, of course, now she feels not accepted, not loved. She feels irritated. She feels judged. She feels condemned. And that's not going to increase the health in our relationship whatsoever, right? So it's not going to tear down walls. It's going to build up walls between us. We're going to have more emotional barriers. So the only person that I am responsible for is me. And so the only way I have to really change the sort of emotional temperature of a relationship is to become a healthier person. If on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 3 in terms of my emotional and spiritual health, the best thing I can do to reshape that relationship is to change, grow, and mature, to move from a 3 to a 5 or a 3 to a 6. Now I'm going to interact with that person on a healthier level, and I'm going to elevate the water level of emotionally healthy interactions in the relationship. I'm going to call the best out of that person by my behaviors, attitudes, and actions with them.
Wow, that's so good. One thing you said over and over again throughout the conference that was so helpful to all of us, at least our group as we processed, was this. When you hit a pocket of resistance, you need to fight your base instinct to resist. Unpack that.
Well, so if you think about it, and I've used this line with you on this show before, but discipleship really is just changing culture, right? You're changing from your culture of family origin. I'm in New England. Are you Northeasterner? I was born and raised in New York. So I'm changing from my Reamer culture, my New York culture, my American culture, to the culture of the kingdom of God. And all culture is what is normal. So what happens is when the culture of the kingdom is different than your American culture or your, in my case, Reamer culture, then what happens is you'll feel resistance. Why? Because it's not normal to you, and we're all resistant naturally to change. We don't like things that aren't normal. This is what we expect. This is what we know. This is what's normal to us. So now all of a sudden, Jesus is asking us to do something different, and when that happens, you will feel resistance. But your resistance is actually pride, and you need to fight your base instinct to resist the Holy Spirit, or you'll never have life change. And, you know, just a simple example, but, you know, my family was full of secrets growing up. And, you know, and I mean my extended family, right? A larger family context, tons of secrets. And all of a sudden, Jesus is calling me to walk in the light with God and others. Well, I have to tell you, man, when Jesus is telling me to confess my sins to Jen and my sin back in those early days in our marriage, I'm struggling with lust. The last person in the world I want to get honest with about lust is Jen. And I felt this incredible resistance to do what God was asking me to do. But as I did it, I found freedom. It changed my heart. We started getting more honest in our marriage, which built more intimacy. It turned out to be incredibly impactful. And, you know, I mean, we had to hit some rough waters before it got better and had to figure out how to behave like mature people. But we got there. And, you know, a lot of it was sort of bowing my stiff neck over areas that I was resistant to.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the reason that needed to be said throughout the conference is because the Holy Spirit is poking at things, but he doesn't force anything. He truly is inviting us to cooperate with him. And, you know, I always think of that Ephesians 3:20 passage, 2021, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or imagine. And the clincher word is according to his work within you. And that's where our cooperation comes in. So there are going to be times when you in your teaching may step on someone's toes. You're being honest, you're bringing truth. But if it causes annoyance, if it causes makes you want to run. In fact, there was a point where you had said after this session, a lot of people, some of you might feel like your heart's beating a little faster. Some of you might feel like you want to run out, but I challenge you to lean in and to trust God. And one of my brothers, he's like, he said, I was loving everything I was hearing, but it was tapping at something in me that I wanted to get up and run. My heart was beating. But then he prayed over us and he said, just like that, the angst left. And I felt like I had the freedom to be honest without being afraid to be honest. And it's just an amazing dynamic, but I think we need to know that because that's going to rise up, you know?
In all of us, we all have resistance because, you know, one of the lines that I used at the conference too with you guys was, you know, I feel like all it really means to be a sinner is to be addicted to self. We have a natural bias towards ourself. We think about ourself. We're worried about what people think about us. And it's all self-centered stuff, right? That's all it means to be a sinner. You have a bias towards self. Therefore, when Jesus is trying to get you to die to self in order to experience abundant life, die to self so Christ can be formed in you, you are going to hit natural pockets of resistance. Mm-hmm. This isn't normal to us.
Wow. Okay, Tina writes and she says, I absolutely agree about thinking less selfish thoughts and keeping Jesus front and center. I do believe in boundaries, though, to take care of yourself. How do you determine boundaries that are healthy versus boundaries that are selfish?
Yeah, so let's talk about the difference between shields and boundaries, right? So a shield is a form of self-protection. A shield is very self-focused. So, for example, somebody yells at me and they're calling me names, they're demeaning and belittling, and I, number one, yell back, scream back, call them names back, repeat the behavior. Or, number two, I, you know, withdraw, isolate, and get passive-aggressive. Okay, either way, I am using a shield of self-protection, okay? A boundary, though, what happens with a shield is I've actually allowed the lowest level of dysfunction in the room to rule the relational interaction. So dysfunction is ruling because self is ruling. But when I get to a boundary, what I do is rather than choosing self-protection, I choose God's principles and pathways. So, for example, somebody yells at me and I look at them and I say to them, listen, I want to listen to what you're saying. What you're saying, I'm sure, is very important. You matter to me, but I'm not going to listen if you're going to scream and yell and call me names. So if you can reframe this conversation and say it in a way that's honorable, I will treat you with honor and I will listen to you. And now what has happened is I've picked up God's protections and I'm using honor and not dishonor. And I'm not stooping to that level of a shield, self-centered. And now I've given you an opportunity to be a better version of you. I've elevated the water level and given you a shot to get to a new level of healthy interaction. And that's a healthy boundary.
That's so good. So good. I do think, I love Tina's point, because I do think many people in the name of, quote, healthy boundaries are using, building shields and walls.
Absolutely.
And saying it's not healthy for me, when really what they mean to say is it's not comfortable for me. You know,
yeah.
This somehow is bringing something up in me and I don't want to feel uncomfortable, right?
Right. And then what happens is I'm actually becoming, as I keep using my shields of self-protection, I'm actually becoming more and more self-focused, not Christ-focused, and more in bondage, and more free.
Mm. Wow, Doc, we probably should do a whole show on boundaries to talk about this, because I hear just so many people talk about it. You know, I fear God, I love God, and it was suddenly cut off by my adult child or a friend, and they have no opening to talk about, you know, we just see that, and they're using healthy boundaries, that's what they're saying. So,
yeah.
And so much weaponizing, it's painful. All right, here's another one. If you're truly humble, you're also honest. Authentic humility begins, well, you talked about this at the beginning, but I'm still going to read it. If you're truly humble, you're also honest. Authentic humility begins with honesty, ends with responsibility, and in between is death to self. Now, you touched on that. Anything more you want to say? I just want to make sure people heard that one.
Yeah, you know, I think it begins with honesty, because if you think about it, again, if I'm presenting to you a prettied up, cleaned up spin version of who I am, that's because I don't want you to think poorly of me. That's pride. That's all that is. I'm just being proud. I'm just trying to present myself better than I actually am. So true, biblical, authentic humility begins with honesty. The problem we have in church is we don't often have an authentic humility. We have a church-bound cultural humility. And so it sounds something like this. Somebody comes up to you, gave a good talk, or you gave a good song, you know, you were anointed to sing a song, and they come up and they say, oh, you're a gifted speaker, you know, that was really a great song, move my heart to Jesus. And we go, oh, you know, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. And, you know, we do this false humility, false modesty thing. But here's the bottom line, right? Jesus gave me the ability to communicate. I'm a good communicator. Please hear me. I'm not taking credit for it. It's a gift. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. He gave it to me. But to deny it in some way in false humility doesn't in any way give glory to the one who gave me the gift.
Amen.
Just own the gift and recognize it's a gift. Listen, God's not impressed with your gifts. He gave them to you. He's impressed with your choices. Choices you have to make. Gifts he already gave to you. He knows
wow.
You got them. Just give him credit. But don't take credit and don't act like you don't have the gifts. That's just pride wrapped in some sort of cultural church humility.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. And here's another one that really piggybacks on what you just said. Shame, listen to this, friends. Shame is pride wrapped in self-disgust. And I want you to unpack how shame blinds us and blocks us from receiving the best of what God has. You even on stage kind of postured. You show the posture of someone who's humbly bowing before God versus somebody who's shriveled and cowered. Two different postures for sure.
Yeah. So shame really, first, it's an identity issue, right? So and it's a head down posture. I travel around the world. I'm calling people to walk in the light. People come up to me all the time, say, you know, I've never told anyone this before. And then they unpack something from their soul, some secret. But when they do, they never look me in the eye because of shame. And if you have secrets, you have shame. It's an inviolable principle of the soul. Secrecy begets shame. The kingdom of darkness calls you to secrecy because secrecy begets shame, right? And all shame is pride wrapped in self-disgust. If you put your head down, and when somebody tells me this secret, their head is down, they don't look you in the eye, you put your head down right now, just lower your head wherever you are to your chest. If there were a room full of people, the only person you would see with your head down like that in that posture is yourself. And you'd have a distorted, warped view of yourself. You wouldn't see everybody else in the room. Shame always makes it too much about ourselves. And that's pride. That's all it is. Now, sometimes we have this shame that's wrapped in that self-disgust. I'm a lousy person. I'm a terrible Christian. I'll never get it right. I'm no good. And it's all this negative self-talk, but it's still just pride. You're making life too much about you.
Hmm. Wow. Here's one more before we go to break. Defensiveness is always rooted in insecurity and pride.
Yeah. So, you know, secure people don't need to defend themselves. If you're deeply secure in your eternal citizenship, when somebody says something about you that's critical, you don't feel a need to defend yourself. You're able to look at that and go, well, that's not true about me. And you don't feel all hyped up and anxious and upset and angry. You don't feel that stuff because you know that you are deeply secure in the love of God. And if someone's temporal wrong opinion of you is coming at you, you have the ability to go, yeah, but God's eternal true opinion of me is that I'm deeply loved. Flip side, if what they say is actually true and you have authentic humility, you just own it. You just look at them and go, you know what? You're right. Please forgive me. And that would be a humble response, and that would be authentic. But defensiveness is not humility. Defensiveness, once again, is actually insecurity, which once again is just a form of pride. You're making life too much about you.
Makes me think of that passage in Hebrews. I should have it memorized, but it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, nor lose heart when he rebukes you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. So think of these two extremes of unhealth. Do not make light of, don't shrug it off like it's nothing, or don't lose heart, don't fall apart like you're nothing. And those are the two extremes. When God puts his finger on something, those are where we go unless there's authentic humility, where either, I'm not listening to that, or because you're confronting something in me, all of me is bad, which is shame. So imagine health being able to do what Rob said, where you humbly maybe own it. But let's say someone said something true, but there was toxic poison, like that gave them great pleasure to let you know what was negatively true about you. There's a way to learn from it, receive the truth without the condemnation that it's wrapped in, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, one of my prayers is, God, make me, you know, Paul, not Solomon, because Solomon tries to kill the adversaries that critique him. And Paul, on the other hand, says, you know, this messenger from Satan, I think, in 2 Corinthians 12, are critics. If you look at the context in 2 Corinthians 11, they're attacking him. And Paul's asked how to take it away, but then he says, my, you know, the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, then, you know, I accept this. This is a gift from the Lord. And he just revels in his weakness so Christ may be perfected. Well, make me Paul, not Solomon.
So good. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this one. You ready? God's got billions of Facebook friends. He's got very few face-to-face friends. Talking to Dr. Rob Reamer, we're drawing from the content of his Soul Care Conference, and I think it springs out of the book, Soul Care, Seven Transformational Principles for a Healthy Soul. And we got a few of copies of his other book, The Tenderness of Jesus, to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Today's a fun show, and I actually think we could probably do another whole show on this because we're just scratching the surface of all my notes from the Soul Care Conference. So many truth bomb moments. We're just walking through them one by one. If you've got a question, go ahead and text it in, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Rob Reamer, who joins us every month to talk about soul care, soul health. And we've got a fun spin on today's show. We're usually drawing content from his books, but several of my family members and I and our spouses got to go to a soul care conference in Sarasota, Florida a couple weeks ago. Literally life-changing, truly life-changing. And so what we've been finagling behind the scenes here is just because Kevin and I feel like a big part of our ministry is for help for people to be healed and to be made whole and for their souls to be restored. It's why I resonate so much with what Dr. Rob writes. So we're going to cover two soul care tickets. And Angie was able to talk to Rob during the break, and they are going to cover two soul care tickets. So let me just tell you this. This is amazing news. I think these tickets are about $125, if I remember right. But we're going to give away four Soul Care registrations today. You have to cover your travel. So what you want to do is get on his website. You'll see all the Soul Care conferences. He's all over the place. You'd have to get yourself there and cover your food and your hotel stay. I suggest renting a Vrbo if you're going with friends so you can just camp out together. But I'm super excited about this. So here's what you do. You text the word book, just because it's going to kick back a link. Text the word book, 877-933 2484. That will kick a link back to you. And that's normally where you say the book that you want that we're giving away. But there's space there. That's where I want you to write Soul Care Conference. And I'm just going to ask, there's not any strings tied to this, but I'm just going to ask and give you a heads up. If you end up winning and end up going, if you'd be willing for Angie and I to record a short interview with you that we can maybe play, maybe one of the next times Rob is on after you've been at the conference. Just it'd be so fun to get some testimony. So here again, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Rob and Jen, thank you guys for your generosity. Wow, I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to do it. And thank you for your generosity. You know, Kev said that, you know, you guys don't normally go to conferences. So I said to him at dinner, I don't think you heard me, but I said, that was a great compliment that you guys came. So I appreciated it.
Yeah, truly. It's the first one. In all the years we've done ministry together, that was the first one. So, and it was the best one. I'm sort of ruined for other conferences now. So we won't be doing that again. Anyway. Okay, here's another one. God's got billions of Facebook friends. He's got very few face-to-face friends. Say more about that one.
Well, so that one originated, actually the line originated because I'm sitting with one of my really close friends. We're sitting in a fire pit, and he's just spilling his guts, opening up his soul to me. And he, when Facebook came out, within 6 months, he topped out at 5,000 Facebook friends. And so I'm sitting there listening to him spill his guts. And I looked at him and I go, you know, you're like Mr. Popular. You got 5,000 close and personal Facebook friends. But I said, how many people do you sit down and do this with? And he looks at him and he goes, you. And then, you know, there was two others on his list. And that is when it struck me. I thought, so it is with God. God has billions of people who consider him, you know, important, close. But how many people does God have who are truly reliable friends?
Wow.
And the context, of course, is I'm talking about Moses at the Soul Care Conference. And he says, he alone is faithful in my house. He's my one true faithful friend. Billions of Facebook friends. God's got really true intimate friends, very few. And I just think one of the noblest aspirations of life would be to become a true friend of God.
Amen. Amen. Remember one of the things you said at the conference, you were telling the story about how the Lord woke you up at 2 a.m. and shared something with you, that just a directional move and strategy in your ministry. And you said, Lord, this couldn't wait till 6 a.m. And he said, there's some things I only share with my 2 a.m. friends. And I love that so much. I just think that speaks of intimacy and your willingness and flexibility, you know, to get out of
bed. Yeah, and he's felt pretty free to wake me up in the middle of the night ever since.
He'll survive.
The kind of friend you want to be, don't you?
Exactly.
I mean, wouldn't you want to be that kind of friend to your closest comrades and friends and family? And that's the kind of friend I want to be to God. I want God to have access to me like that.
Me too. Me too. This dear listener writes in, how do we apply these principles when grief is at the forefront? Thought I had these strengths and was confident in Christ and then lost my husband 14 months ago, unexpected, sudden. I feel like I've lost confidence with every area of my life. My self-care/pride is a shield from this grief. Oh, dear soul, dear precious one, that's still so new. And I'm going to hand it to Rob, but I just want you to know we're praying for you.
Yeah, and grief is something you have to process through. And when you have a long-term, deeply loving relationship like that, you are going to take a long time to process grief. So you have to process through. You got to keep coming to the Lord with your heartache. And, you know, I always say when I'm grieving, one of my principles for grieving is I want to be honest but honorable, raw but reverent. I want to present what I really feel with all of the darkness and sadness and even hopelessness at times or whatever. I want to present it, but I never want to do it in a way that I'm dishonoring to God. He's worthy of honor. He's the God of the cross. So I want to present my heart to him, but do it. And, you know, I keep processing until I feel like I'm getting to the roots of it. And then I get to the place where love and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit, begins to return. The other thing I would just say with grief, and that is, you know, this world will never satisfy. There's good things here. We have lots of good things, but this world's not our true home. We're passing through. Our citizenship is eternal. Therefore, this world is disappointing at its best. There's good things, and then there's things that never match up to our expectation and desire. And that's because this world is not meant to satisfy. So when I feel that emptiness and loneliness and heartache and sadness and grief in this world and disappointment with this life, it's really designed for me to process well and sink deep roots in my hope and my eternal citizenship, because that's my true home. And I have to do that processing carefully to keep digging deeper roots in my eternal citizenship.
Amen. Thank you for that. And I'm thinking, friend, this loss is so sudden and still so fresh. Be kind and compassionate to yourself.
Yeah.
But I pray you heard what Dr. Rob said about, on one hand, feeling what you feel, but keeping a reverence. Because I feel like at times in the church, you know, Christians who've lost a spouse, I mean, that is just the most, you know, especially if you've been together for so long, it's not two people. It's like you're two who become one and you're being torn in half. I mean, that's how it feels. And yeah. I think there's times it's what's put on people is to stay positive. And that, you know what I'm saying? Where it's almost like you can't, there's no space for you to be messy. And what I love what you're saying is say what you feel and feel yeah. how you feel. Before yeah. a holy
and the
God.
Psalms are yeah. super helpful for that too.
Yeah.
So many of the Psalms, probably close to 40%, are lament, grieving, processing Psalms. Use those, pray them back to God in your own words, but get in touch with your heart. Just continue to be reverent before the Lord right. as you do
so
it.
So good. Okay, we're going to take a break. And friends who are listening, you're listening to the live show now, but we have lots and lots of people all over the world who are listening by a podcast. So I think we're going to leave the drawing open for the Soul Care Conference to the end of the week just to give people time. But Kev and I are offering two tickets. Rob and Jen's ministry offering two tickets. So that's four registrations to Soul Care Conference. You can register to win one. And here's how it works. You have to provide your own travel expenses, flying, driving, food, wherever you're staying. And we'll put the website, Dr. Rob's website, in the show notes. So you can click there, see his itinerary, and find a conference closest to you. He's all over the place. But how exciting that we can send four of you to a Soul Care Conference. They're life-changing. And how fun it would be if you're willing. I'm not attaching strings. I'm just asking you to be thoughtful about this. If you'd be willing for Angie and I to interview some of you when you get back, just to hear. And you can be anonymous if you want. But it'd be fun to play some clips on a future show with Dr. Rob. Dr. Rob Reamer is my guest. We're drawing some of my notes from our recent trip to Sarasota, Florida, to the Soul Care Conference, and just having a great conversation. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. And one of the things I love about Faith Radio is that we put a high priority on the Word of God. The Word of God is living, active, and powerful. There's no other book that you can open up and hear the voice of God like the Word of God. We would love for you to join us this Lenten season. Prepare your heart for Easter and study the Scriptures with us as we walk with Jesus to the cross. You'll feel like you're right there watching it all happen. And then you'll be the first to celebrate Easter morning with a better understanding. You can sign up on our website to receive a free study guide. Subscribe to the daily Reading the Bible Together podcast to listen to the podcasts that accompany this Reading the Bible Together initiative. I hope you'll join us. You'll find all the information that you need on myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Rob Reamer, who joins us every month to talk about soul care. He's our expert on soul care, and he runs these soul care conferences all over the country. In fact, pray for him whenever you think of him, because he's traveling, he gets home, he unpacks his bag, he's got a few days, 2-3 days, and then he's back out on the road again. And my hubby and I, my sister and her husband, my brother and his wife, and another sister of mine, traveled to Florida to a soul care conference, stayed in a rowboat together, and it was just life-changing. So today's show's different. I think we might do this next time he's on again, because I have so many notes from the conference, but I'm super excited to tell you. Kev and I are going in on two tickets. Dr. Rob and his wife Jen are also throwing in two tickets. We're able to give away four registrations to a Soul Care Conference somewhere in the country, in the U.S. we're talking about. And so this is what you can do if you want to enter to win. text the word book. This is just so you'll get the link back. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. There's a little form to fill out. In that space, reference the Soul Care Conference. And you would pick the one that you're closest to. You handle your travel expenses. And if you're willing, I would love to catch record a short interview with you after the fact to see just what your experience was. All right, we're going through our notes here. Well, here's another one from the conference. And you touched on this with the dear woman who just lost her husband. You said this: the disappointments of earth are for wise people to process through and heal from, and then sink down deeper roots into the kingdom. If you do that, you'll become a better human. If not, you'll become a cynic. What say you?
Yeah. So everybody suffers, right? One of my other lines I use a lot: you don't get to choose if you suffer in life. You only get to choose how you suffer in life. So therefore, suffer wisely. And truly, when we suffer wisely, it creates depth, and it marks us with God's presence, because there is death to self that comes out of suffering wisely. And when we die to self and give Jesus more space, then he's formed in us, and now we're marked more with his presence. So the other piece, and this the other piece you mentioned, is sinking deep roots in heaven. Again, we're passing through. This isn't our true citizenship. The problem is, if I don't shift from my disappointments with earth and my temporal identity to really digging deep roots in my eternal identity, I become cynical, critical, judgmental, negative, perpetually sad, and unable to move forward with hope and victory in life. And that's why we got to sink those deep roots.
So good. Okay, I'm going to read all three of these. We just have about 3 minutes or so left. Every time you grumble, it's an indictment against the goodness of God. If you become a negative, critical person, you misrepresent God to all of humanity. Oh, this next one I'm saving for next time you're on, because it's a different subject, and I love it. You can have as much of God as you want, not more than you're willing to pay the price for. We'll talk more about that later. So every time you grumble, it's an indictment against the goodness of God. If you become a negative, critical person, you misrepresent God to all of humanity.
Yeah, and, you know, so with the grumbling piece, if you think about it with Paul, right, in First Thessalonians 5 and in Ephesians 5, Paul says we are to be grateful for all things and in all circumstances. So, you know, therefore, the only way you can actually do that is, again, you have to have an eternal perspective. Because if you're so attached to the temporal and you don't factor in eternity, you will be disheartened, disappointed, discouraged, and just dismantled by the temporal situations of life that are just so painful. But when you understand that God can redeem the pain of this world to deepen your intimacy, sharpen your character and Christ's likeness, get you more free and full, mark you with more of God's presence, you have hope, and you can be grateful even in the midst of terrible circumstances, because you have an eternal home, and there's hope in this world that everything you do is going to be rewarded in the next world as you process well.
So good. And you think about grumbling, it seems like it's the after effect of many choices before that point to look at the negative. I mean, many, many choices. And I get it. I know what it is to suffer long periods of stretches without relief and without breakthrough. But we still get to pick where we set our gaze. And I feel like that's the why that one thing with God and the Israelites, you know, stirred him up and frustrated him so much, because they just shrugged aside his miracles, yeah, his provision, his presence, and focused in on the nuanced moments and forgot about the big picture.
Yeah, like 2 Corinthians 10 tells, you know, four lessons from Israel, right? It's like, don't commit idolatry, number one commandment. Don't test the Lord, which is rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, Scripture says. And don't commit sexual immorality. Again, that misrepresents the covenant faithfulness of God. These are like big three. And then all of a sudden, the fourth one is don't grumble. And you're like, everybody grumbles. It's no big deal. But apparently, it's a really big deal to God, because ultimately, you're saying, I don't really trust you. You're not really good. And you have given me the shaft in life.
Wow. As we get ready to wrap, what is your one heart cry for those attending the Soul Care? Like for you going, this is what I want for you more than anything else.
Yeah, it's freedom and fullness. Those are the two words that I most often use. So, and that happens with unpacking. So figuring out what's the stuff that's impeding me from intimacy with Jesus. It's intimacy that leads to freedom and fullness, and it's soul stuff that keeps me from intimacy and therefore blocks my freedom and fullness.
And all of these things are possible in the land of the living. So believing the lie as a believer that you have to hunker down, bide your time, and be miserable till Jesus comes is a lie. He's given us presence and promises and people like Dr. Rob to help facilitate freedom so you can be free. Dr. Rob, I know you're exhausted. Thank you for giving us your time today.
It's always fun to be with you, Susie.
Appreciate it. Say hi to Jen for us. And friends, yay, we've got four registrations of the Soul Care Conference to give away. It's worth the investment, friend. You have to pay for your travel, your food, all of that, but we'll get you the registrations. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, and you're not committing to it. You may just want to inquire about it, but we'd love to have you get to a conference and let us know what it was like for you. We'll meet you back here next time. Have a blessed day. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes.